Now, Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Several great truths in this chapter. And it starts with our assurance of us being born again. The war of flesh and carnality that's seen in spiritual death anyhow. No fruit coming out of that. And then we're going to look at, eventually sometime today, on how do I reflect being an heir of Christ? How do I reflect being an heir of Christ? And I believe it starts with renewing my mind. Where's my mind at? We'll start in Romans 8. We'll go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for being good to us today. We are grateful and thankful for our salvation. Lord, again, it's an amazing truth in that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. When a believer, or rather when a non-believer accepts you as their Savior, Lord, so many things happen that instant. We have victory over sin and death. Heaven is our home. You're our Father. We have communion with you. We have fellowship with you. We're sealed and sanctified to the day of redemption. We are not left alone. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Nothing happens to us, Lord, that you don't allow. And Lord, you always see us through, no matter what we're going through. And it's because of Christ in us. That agent of the Holy Spirit being in us. Lord, we're so grateful and thankful for that. Lord, I do not know where everyone's at spiritually or emotionally. Many decisions are being made or being prayed about in each individual life here. And Lord, I pray that I would just die to self, get me out of the way, and that you would just teach your truth through me to your children, to your church, and that every individual here would be conformed to your image. We ask these in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 1, look at verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank God. I mean, we're continuing on from Romans 6 and Romans 7, and now it is a point fact of our position in Christ. There is now, right now, as a born-again believer, no condemnation. There is no judgment going to be judged on you from God to now spend eternity in a lake of fire. You know, Satan's not in hell. You guys know that, right? He's not there yet. He's as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Technically, Satan will never even go to hell. He'll go to a lake of fire, but not hell. Right now, as a born-again believer, I am positionally in Christ, and there is, because of Christ in me, no condemnation. Folks, if that's not some good news, I don't know what is. Can you imagine being Paul and writing to a group of believers, stating this fact, you are not condemned? Now, we don't use that language a whole lot nowadays, but I guarantee you, during this time when this letter is being written, when I'm hearing news that I am not condemned, there's no judgment being placed upon me to cast me out because I am in Christ. That would sound good to the hearers. That would sound good to the audience having that language being delivered to. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, has set me free from the law of sin and death. My position in Christ has set me free from sin and death. When I accept Christ as my Savior, it is never referred to as a believer as a sinner. A believer is always referred to as a saint, an heir, a child of God, fill in the blank. But a saved believer is never referred to as a sinner. I am no longer a sinner. That's a position. That's a nature. I'm not a sinner by nature. I can commit acts of sin, correct? That's what Romans 6 explains. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. I love how Paul systematically lays out truth to where you understand, and then boom, here's the fact. Oh, I got it. I like the logical explanation Paul gives. It helps me. I'm not very wise. I'm not very smart in and of myself. I thank God that the Holy Spirit teaches me spiritual truth. When I read it, sometimes I go, I have no idea what's going on right now. I'm the only one. A little quiet in here. Oh, preacher, dang. Yeah. We rely on the Holy Spirit as the agent to teach us. We are not sinners. We are freed from sin. We are freed from death. Thank God. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And concerning sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the law was given by God, correct? It was ordained by God. Here's the requirements. So a Jew, and again, the Jews, the only ones that had the Holy Spirit were the prophets, priests, and kings, and they weren't sealed, were they? He could come and go, right? The majority of the Jews did not have the Holy Spirit in them. They had to, in their flesh, look at the law and go, okay, I'm going to follow this. This is what God is requiring of me at this time. I, by faith, am going to live this out. Now, could they do it? No. The law shows you can't, right? The law shows you need God. You need that sin offering done for you every single year by the high priest. So Jesus Christ is what atoned. We went over it before in length and previous lessons and sermons on him being that propitiation, that mercy seat, that where the lid is, where that blood sacrifice is offered in the Holy of Holies. That's where God meets man. Right there, that's what Jesus Christ is. So when God sees you, he sees Christ in you. That's why you're not condemned. Because Christ came to fulfill the law. Galatians says he was born under the law to redeem them. Right? Romans 1 and 2 says man on his own can't do it. Galatians shows and Romans shows that, hey, the law couldn't do it. But the sacrifice of Christ did do it. And when I, by faith, accept him as my personal Savior, boom, I am no longer condemned. Amazing. Now, do I know all those truths right away? Probably not. If it were true, why would Paul tell them they're not condemned? When I approach the Bible and I'm reading, I'm going, okay, for the most part, not every time, but for the most part, the opposite is probably happening. If Paul is going to exhaust himself and write a letter, or if Christ is going to pin things down, I'm assuming that the opposite's probably happening. That's why he's addressing it. So there is a position of me being in Christ. God sees me. Again, I'm not fighting a war that can't be won. I'm fighting from a position of victory already. Verse number 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We'll slow down right here for a few minutes. Believe it or not, I'm actually going to try and stick to my notes for a change. We'll keep our spot here in Romans. And we're going to look at in verse 6, this death, what that looks like. So go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Anytime you want to get an idea of what carnality looks like in a believer's life, read 1 Corinthians. That'll help you. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 1, brothers, I could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to worldly, even as to babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with solid food, for to this day you are not able to endure it. Nor are you able now, for you are still worldly, since there is envy and strife and divisions among you. And are you not worldly and behaving as mere men? So this is what it looks like. These born-again believers who set their minds on the flesh, on carnal. And the Greek carnal and flesh are the same exact Greek word. It's crazy. It's the same thing. If you go over to chapter 5, verse 5, we see what happens when someone's living in sin, who's a believer and what they're supposed to do. 1 Corinthians 5:5. Actually, we'll bump up to verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are assembled along with my spirit in the power of the Lord Jesus, deliver him to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that the spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord Jesus. So a man in sin who is not producing anything righteous or godly, who does not want to, but who is saved, this is what spiritual death looks like. And they say, hey, you need to put him out and let Satan have his work on him. God, his will is for us to be obedient, correct? That's God's will. His will is for us to obey, to live righteous, to that which edifies God. That's his will. When you get saved as a young believer, you might not understand that. That's why there is a body of many members to come together, to come alongside and help individuals see what God has for them. Have you ever talked to someone about Scripture and someone's replied with, I never knew that. I never knew that. Well, thank God you said something, right? Because they never knew that. Galatians chapter 5, we'll go over there. Galatians 5, again, kind of confirming this back and forth here. Galatians 5, which many of you know these verses very well. We'll start in verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Why, Paul? And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So as a believer, I have the will to choose the flesh and the lust thereof or the spirit. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Actually, let's go ahead and go there. Keep your spot there. We're going to come back. I know it's a lot of flipping around, but I'll give you guys some references here. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally, brothers, we urge and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as you have learned from us how you ought to walk and to please God, you should excel more and more. For you know what the Lord commands, what commands we gave you through Jesus Christ. So these brothers in Thessalonica, these brothers in Galatia, know what's pleasing to the Lord, right? And Paul is wanting them to live a life that pleases God. But there is an opposition, correct? The spirit and the flesh, the carnality. 1 John tells us, all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. A believer has the will to say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to follow that. I'm going to serve that. Or he's going to say, you know what? No, I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to submit to Christ. I'm going to yield my members to righteousness. What's in the flesh? Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are revealed, which are these: adultery, sexual immorality, impurity, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, rage, selfishness, dissensions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, carousing, Listen, all these things are what's fighting and attacking outside a believer. Right? We have three enemies, been over in Sunday school, world, flesh, and devil. And it's trying to destroy you. There's an opposing force, right? The Spirit of God is in me that has victory over what's opposing me. Think about that for a second. The Spirit of God in me, I am not condemned, I'm freed from sin and death. Romans 6 explains, I do not have to commit sin. Here's a trichotomy. Here's a person, an individual. When I get saved, my spirit is quickened. Okay? What's in my spirit? Well, let's just go basic. Salvation. Assurance. High school acceptance. All right. Purpose. And also the big one, total surrender. All right. So my spirit, that's what I have. It's God's spirit in me, correct? An unbeliever, this is dead. It's at enmity. There's nothing there. It's empty, right? The spirit's not there. They have a soul, right? Mind, will, emotions. This is where there's carnality. Okay, flesh. This is Galatians right here. 5:16. Okay, the flesh. Hatred, wrath, adultery, fornication. That's carnality, okay? There is a battle, opposing force that comes from the outside to get me through my soul, my mind, will, and emotions to usurp authority over this. My mind is selfish. We're doing good so far? When I'm saved, from being born again, most people don't automatically totally surrender. That's a process. I'm not saying you get more of the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, you get 100% of the Holy Spirit. What needs to take place is you need to learn. You need to understand Christ, this is C for Christ, wants to be here. The center of your life. But what dictates this? My mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We say heart. This isn't your heart beats and pumps. Your heart is, what am I living for? What am I focused on? At the end of the day, my life lives out where my heart is at. You can't help it. People that have the gift of discernment see right through people like that. That talk the talk. They're saved. They're going to heaven. They're pretending to be godly. But the gift of discernment goes, you're a very proud, arrogant person. I'm seeing right through that. Right? You're not serving God because you love God. You're serving God because you actually really aren't. But you want to depict that. Right? Why? It's where their mind's at. Okay? They're confused. It's carnal. It's flesh. So look at this. How do I get Christ to be in the center? It's my mind. If I let my soul take over my spirit, okay, kind of quench him, Ephesians, quench the spirit, grieve the spirit. What you're going to see is this over here, the flesh, right? It's an opposing force. These two are fighting each other. There's a battle there. And it's one in control of what's in the center, right? These two are fighting to take control over here. Am I making sense? Opposition. It's happening right now. Happening right now in your life. While you're sitting here in a church service. It's happening right now. Each individual knows what it is. My mind needs to be renewed through the truth of Scripture. I'm going to come to a point in my life where God's going to say, will you surrender? Boy, a big one, isn't it? Will you surrender? It can be scary, can't it? It is fighting my flesh. There's an opposing force happening in Romans. I am in my position, born again. Thank God. I have victory over all of this in my body. Romans 6, we'll get to that here in a minute. My members. There's come a point in my life where God's going to say, okay, you know enough. I'm confronting you. Will you surrender? And then my will kicks in. My will. What do I do? I know what to do. But I have programmed my soul so much that it feels like I'm losing who I am. This is a midlife crisis. And a believer. I say midlife crisis, probably a wrong term. It's a spiritual crisis on, am I going to submit to what Christ has for me in obedience to Him? Or am I going to say, I'm going to look the part, act the part, but I am too comfortable here. Paul says, there's now no condemnation. Thank God. But there's an opposing force in the carnal and the flesh. There's a battle going on inside of you. All right, Romans 8, we'll go back there. Romans 8. We doing good so far? Okay. Now it's a little warm in here. You guys are doing good. Okay, for those, verse 8, for those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Right. You, however, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. If any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is alive because of righteousness. But the spirit of him who has raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you. He who raised up Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his spirit that lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh. Stop right there. You are not saved. It's Romans 6. You are not saved and freed from sin and death and all that to say, okay, thank God for His grace. I can do whatever I want now. No, it doesn't work that way, does it? He gives you the free will to do that. That's what makes it even better. He says, I'll let you do that. You want to have what you want? Fine. 1 Corinthians 5:5. Let him have what he wants. Let's watch Satan destroy him. The sin you place above God will destroy you. It will hinder you from following Christ. Trust me, I know it's not pleasant. We're not debtors to the flesh, to the according to the flesh, for if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live through the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Here's what's great. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery again to fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God and have children and heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. So Galatians chapter 3 says, we all become a son of God by faith in Jesus Christ. I am now an heir. I am now royalty. It's okay, guys, to wear purple. Purple's the color of royalty. Wear it proudly. I'm an heir of Jesus Christ. There's a war being waged from outside coming in. If you are tempted, is that wrong? No, you can't control that. Christ was tempted, but did he sin? No. He was tempted and sinned not. You will be tempted. That's the world, flesh, and devil. It's going to come at you. It's going to come. It wants to destroy. Satan's walking around seeking whom he may devour. Where is my mind? Where is it at? Ephesians 6 gives me the armor of God. Am I taking it seriously? Am I taking seriously that I am not condemned? Am I taking seriously in my mind that I am free from sin and death? Or am I just casually walking through this grace that I'm living in? I am living in the Northwest, in America, in the 21st century. Am I taking advantage of how spoiled I am? Or am I just going, I'm going to do my time and get out of here? We need some warriors. Romans 8 explained to us what's happening. Carnal and spirit. So, my mind, here we go. Ready? Here's the answer. Romans 12:2. We'll go there. Where's my mind? Where my mind is will affect my behavior. Where my mind is in the power of Christ will affect my behavior. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How, God? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:2 is how. How else do we do it? Ephesians 3:16. Take my notes down. Ephesians 3:16. Go ahead and go over there. Tells us that he would give you according to the riches of his glory, power to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in love. We also have it over in Colossians 1:11. Colossians 1:11 tells us. Is that what I want? No. I'm sorry. Colossians 3:10. Colossians 3:10 tells us, and have embraced the new nature which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him who created it. So I need to renew my mind. Number one. In order for this process to take place to where Christ is now moving to the center, I am understanding that there is a war happening. Flesh is fighting against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. In my will, I decide and I choose in my free will what I'm going to yield to. Am I going to surrender to Christ? allow them to rule my life or my flesh and be selfish. They can't dwell together. One will usurp authority over the other. What else do I do? We see it here in Romans 8. Walk. Take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians 5, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Verse number 8, Ephesians 5, 8, for you who were formerly in darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord, walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is pleasing to the Lord. Go down to verse 15, 5:15. So then that you walk carefully, as not as fools, but as wise men. So I renew my mind. As I'm renewing my mind, I am walking. Okay? And then three, we'll just do a quick one here. Live. I'm renewing. I'm walking, and now I'm going to live it out. Romans 6 is the big one here for live. Romans 6. We'll go there and we'll be done. Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may increase? God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein it? Go to verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we should no longer be slaves to sin. Go to verse 11. Likewise, you also consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Do not yield your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your bodies to God as instruments of righteousness. We'll stop there. You see that? I'm renewing my mind, I'm walking, and now in my will, I'm going to live it out. It's happening all day. All day. It doesn't stop at 8 o'clock when you clock in and start back up at 5. All day, every day. Christ wants to be the center and he wants to stay there. Romans 8, you're not condemned. There's a war going on, flesh, carnality. The Holy Spirit is in you to go against all this. Am I allowing God's Spirit to live through me? Or is he just passively there in my life? I like him there. I'm grateful because it benefits me. But I'm not yielding. I'm not walking. I'm not living. Why? I tried Pastor Jesse. That's tiring. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's exhausting. You betcha. You think it gets easier the more you know? It doesn't get easier. Here's what happens, though. As I renew, as I walk, and as I live, as I understand, the word knowledge in the Bible most of the time means knowledge only comes by experience. I'm gathering my evidence on what it takes to live godly. The war intensifies, but I know how to access my tools through Christ to defeat all that. So yes, the battles get stronger, absolutely. But I'm mature. I'm a disciple. There's a difference. I'm yielding constantly. I'm surrendering constantly. It's easier. There's a peace. I understand what's happening. I know why it's happening. I know when it's going to happen. I know all these things. So as the battle is intense, the weapons that I have intensify also. To where now, like in the book of Acts, I actually rejoice that I am counted worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. Now, I have not been persecuted remotely close to the book of Acts. Don't get me wrong. But Lord, I'm yours. I want you to stay here. And if that means making it hard on me in my life, okay, I understand. Nothing's going to happen to me that you don't allow and that I can't overcome. Why? Because I'm not condemned? Because Christ is in me? Where's my mind at in my life right now? Do I have a Colossians 3 mindset? Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth? Or am I consumed with what's happening in this earth? I'm not saying be ignorant and naive to it. Don't get me wrong. But am I attacking physical with physical? Or am I attacking physical with spiritual? Am I taking spiritual opportunities to witness, to disciple, to teach? Am I taking spiritual, am I standing up for spiritual truths? Where's my mind at? Am I walking? Am I living? In a sloppy, squiggly way, that's how you can do it. This is God's will. To be in the center. Preeminent, Colossians 1. Where am I? Good question. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. Lord, we're so grateful for Romans 8 and that we are not condemned. Thank you, Lord, for sealing us the day of redemption. Lord, allow our hearts and minds to be allow our mind to be renewed. Lord, it does take work. It takes setting time aside to fellowship with you, to study your word. It takes time aside to invest in someone's life, knowing that we could get hurt, knowing that it could be uncomfortable. It's going to go against my flesh. It's going to go against my emotions to protect my time, to protect my life. But Lord, as we surrender to you, spiritual things will begin to take precedence. I will look forward to investing in someone's spiritual growth. I'll look forward to living a righteous, godly life. I'll look forward to live a life pleasing to you. Lord, we don't need better politicians. We just need submitted believers that'll count the cost. Understand Romans 8, victory is in me. Yes, there's carnality fighting against spiritual, but Lord, allow us to yield ourselves to your spirit. Allow us to renew our minds and walk in love, be imitators of God, and live, like Romans 6, a righteous, godly life. Simply because you're worth it at the end of the day, just because we desire do this for you and allow you to do it through us. Lord, speak to individual hearts and make decisions that are made stick, Lord, for all eternity. Bless now our afternoon. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.